Paul tells us something here that I want you to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Reasons to rejoice. You're happy tonight because you've been sanctified. I don't know about you, but I'm happy. And I'm not going to let Satan rob me of my joy. I'm not going to let Satan rob me of this. Jesus died that I could have this. The Holy Spirit has revealed the truth that I could have this. God has come up with a plan that I could have this joy. And I'm not going to let Satan or anybody rob me of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 11. Talks about, and such was some of you. You name the sin. He gives a list of sins back in verse number 9 and verse 10. Some of you used to be walking in this life. Some of you, but such was some of you, but you have been, the New King James says, washed. You've been baptized. You obeyed the gospel. And when you obeyed the gospel, look at the next word, and you were sanctified. You were cleansed. You were cleansed. Your sins were deleted when you obeyed the will of God. And now, he says, you have been justified. There it is again. What he said in Romans chapter 8, you have been made righteous in the eyes of God. And because you're made righteous, look at what the rest of that verse says. Now, go back to verse number 10. Look at the latter part of verse number 10. You see, those who live that life and continue and have not been sanctified, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They can't go to heaven. But who can go to heaven? Those who have been washed and sanctified and justified. Tonight, I've been sanctified. That's why I'm happy. That's what keeps me going. That's what gets me up every morning. Even though I may cry myself to sleep at night with loneliness and missing Rhonda, it's filled with joy because I know one day, because we are God, one of God's elect, and we have been sanctified, we're going to see one another again. Let's go to our third reason. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 3. Now let's see what Jesus Christ has done. God has come up with a plan. The Holy Spirit has revealed the truth. John 16, verse 13. The truth that if we obey the truth, it'll purify, it will cleanse our souls. The Holy Spirit revealed all the truth. Now, what did Jesus do? The Bible tells us something about Jesus and our scheme of redemption that makes me happy tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look at the latter part of verse number 3. Verse 2, rather. For obedience and sprinkling of the blood. You see, those Jewish saints knew something about the blood. In the Old Testament, they would take the blood of bulls and goats and sprinkle things and purify them things. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21. But by all things, by the law, purged with blood. In the Old Testament, how did they make things cleansed that they could be used in praise to God? They would use the blood of bulls and goats. But there was just one problem. Hebrews 10, verse 4. The blood of bulls and goats could not make us perfect. It couldn't cleanse us completely. It could only roll our sins back one year. Now look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, Peter says, you see, the blood redeems us. That's the third reason I want you to realize you need to be happy. Because you're redeemed. I don't know. I'm sure y'all sing. We sing it back in Tennessee. I'm redeemed. But what redeemed us? Money can't do it. You can go to Walmart tonight and get some Purex or Clorox. You can get 17 gallons of it if you want. And you can sleep in it all night and it won't purify you from your sins. Now, you're going to have a problem tomorrow if you do that. But if you're going to try to do it for salvation, it won't do you any good. They'll take stains out of your white shirts and grass stains out of it, but it won't take away sin. Well, what would take away sin? Peter says, seeing then that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your verse, but, verse 19, I like but you were redeemed, Sammy. You were brought back in fellowship with God, Sammy, not because of anything you've done. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ when you came in contact with it. But when did you come in contact with the blood? That's why the Church of Christ, we're going to preach about baptism. Because in baptism, you come in contact with the blood that redeems you, that washes away your sins, not for 1 year, not for 5 years, but forever. That makes you acceptable for God to look upon you. You say, I'm nothing but a filthy rag. I don't even deserve to be preaching to you tonight. I'm no good. But my God is good. Because of his mercy, because of his vision, to come with a plan of salvation, and because of the Holy Spirit making known that truth, and because of Jesus suffering on that cross tonight, I'm happy. And I'm a Christian. And if I die tonight, it'll be okay, because there's something better for me. There's something better for me, and there's something better for you. Don't let Satan take away your joy. Don't let Satan take away your passion and want to please him. Don't let Satan take away your passion and want to please the Lord. Not Satan, but want to please the Lord. Don't let him take away your passion. He tried to do this to those saints. They were contemplating quitting. Peter tells them, rejoice because of this. Let's go to our fourth one. Go back to 1 Peter. Let's go to the next verse. Let's look at the fourth reason to rejoice. Verse number 3. As his divine power was given to us, all things pertaining to life. Well, I'm in the long verse. I'm in 2 Peter. Let me get back to that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a what? Living hope. The fourth reason we ought to rejoice is because we have hope. Not just dead hope. We have living hope. Hope simply means expectation. We expect something better. I expect one day to look up in the clouds and see Rhonda. She's going to be resurrected. And the dead in Christ shall remain in the earth. But those who are dead in Christ shall meet the Lord in the air. Coming back for those who are still alive. I expect to see her one day. That's what keeps me going. That's my living hope. You see, Satan tried to take away my hope. You see, Peter knew something about this. Remember Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 69? After Jesus Christ had been arrested and apprehended, they took him into the hall and they beat our Lord, and Peter was out there warming himself at the fire. You see, Peter had a misconception of what the church was going to be. He thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom like many of the other disciples. And when Jesus was arrested, Peter lost his faith. His hope was damaged. When that person came up to him and said, I've seen you with the man Jesus. I've never seen him before. Someone said, a little girl said, I've seen you with him. He's been with Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about, little girl. Someone even said, your speech betrays you. And then he began to use profanity. And about that time, Jesus came out of the hall and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered what he had said. Why did Peter do that? His hope was damaged. When you lose your excitement of being a Christian, that's when Satan gets you to do things that you know you wouldn't ordinarily do. That's when you come with an excuse for not coming to church on Sunday. That's when you come up with an excuse for not doing this and reading your Bible and praying and giving like you ought to. You can come up with any excuse when you lose your hope. When you lose your passion. When you lose your excitement. When you've been robbed. You can come up with any excuse. A man who loves his wife and he's passionate about his marriage will never cheat on his wife. And the same way with a husband. You'll never cheat on your spouse. You'll never. And when children who have a passion for their parents, they don't want to do anything. Not that they will never do it. But they say, I'm not going to use drugs. I don't want to hurt mama. I don't want to hurt daddy. I'm not going to go there. You all go do what you want. I can't go there because I don't want to hurt my mother. That's what kept me going. But when you lose your passion, Satan was trying to take away these saints' passion so that they would quit. And what he's trying to do is take away your joy. Take away your excitement that you can spend hours and hours watching ball games and shopping. But when the preacher preaches over 30 minutes, let me get back to this. See, we lose that passion. Peter had lost that passion, but God be thanked that he got it back. And on the day of Pentecost, who was up preaching? Peter. He's got that what? Living hope. What gave it to him? If you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us what gave it to him, the resurrection. When he saw Jesus after the resurrection, boy, he's smiling because his Lord was not dead. I'm telling you, I stopped by to tell you tonight, Jesus is not in the grave. Jesus is alive. And because he lives, one day you're going to live. Because he lives, Rhonda, I'm going to see her again. I know I keep talking about that because that's what keeps me going, is the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, we all have no hope. But because of the resurrection, we have hope. I'm telling you. So Satan, bring it on. Bring it on. The fifth reason to be happy. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. He tells us in the next verse, verse number 4, is inheritance. Don't let Satan take away your inheritance. One day I'm going to die. And in my will, a large portion of what I have will go to my boys. And a certain percentage of it will go to the church, and a certain percentage will go to Free Hardeman University. But after my death, and as long as they stay in favor with Daddy, they're going to get an inheritance. And as long as I stay in favor with the Lord has an inheritance for me. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare it for you, Sammy. You're familiar with the text, and you've heard us quote it so many times. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't spend your life worrying about these things on this earth. They're temporal. But let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again that to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has gone to prepare an inheritance for me. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. Is reserved. I'm not worried about getting there. I've got a reservation. I'm not worried about getting there and they say, we don't have any room for you, Sammy. I've got a room reserved for an eternity. Don't let Satan take away your inheritance. You see, if you lose your passion to want to be saved, someone sitting or standing here tonight won't be here 3 years from now. You're going to quit like someone else that you know who was 5 years ago was faithful in this church, but tonight they're not. It was dedicated, but every now and then you see them when they come through the door. They've lost that passion. Satan took it away. Satan tried to take away a year ago my passion, but I'm not going to let him do it. Finally, amen. They usually say, amen. Number 6. Look at verse number 5. The sixth reason to rejoice is because we serve a God who is able. We serve a God who is able. There's nothing my God can't do. April, a year ago, the doctor told us that she had 3 months to live. I knew God was able to do it. I just didn't, how am I going to live without her? She's been part of my life for nearly 42 years. How am I going to live without her? She's been my rock. How am I going to make it without her? When she went to sleep, oh, I wanted so much to go to sleep with her. Felt like God had done me an unfairness by leaving me. Why not let me go to sleep with her? I can't make it without her. You see, that's what Satan wants me to think. That I can't make it without her. I don't know how I've made it these last 5 months. But my God is the reason. It's because of my God. It's because of my God, and God can bring you through whatever you're going through. Whatever you're going through, whatever family members are going through, we serve a God who is able. Turn to Genesis chapter 17. In verse number 1, Moses writes something about God. He uses the phrase, the Hebrew phrase, God Almighty. The God we serve is God Almighty. He's El Shaddai. It means simply, there's nothing our God can't do. There's nothing. How do you make it without someone who's been in so vital part of your life for 40 some years? We grew up right across the street from each other. Her parents and my parents lived right in front of each other. So I've known her most of my life. And we started dating. We dated for 3.5 years. And then we got married. Now, how do I make it without my friend? My best friend, God Almighty. You remember, there was a man named Abraham and Sarah. God had promised them a child. She's 89 years old, Genesis 18. God comes to her and tells her, you're going to have a baby, verse 14. She started laughing. The angel said, is there anything too hard for God Almighty? Why are you not happy tonight? Why is your happiness not boiling over? Somebody you know of this church is going through something. You need to call them up tonight and tell them they need to be happy. You see, that's what's going to bring them back to church. You see, they already know where they ought to be. But when your joy is gone, you can't get yourself to do what you know you ought to do. But when you get excited about something again, and I'm telling you what you can do for the Lord when you're excited. I'm telling you, there are things you can do that even imagine you. You get up and you start leading singing and you say, man, I've never even led a song before. You know what? That's when you're hot on fire for the Lord. You never thought you'd be a teacher. You know what you're going to say? Give me 2 weeks. I'm going to teach a Bible class. There are things you'll start doing because you're excited. You're not afraid. You don't care what people say or think. You just want to let the Lord know how much you love him. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. When Abraham came out off the mountain, while he was up, God provided a lamb. And he named this place, God Will Provide. I like what the King James says here about God when he named the place Jehovah Jireh. Sammy, when your back's against the wall and you don't know what you're going to do, Jehovah Jireh, which simply means God will provide. God's going to provide. Until I'm called home, God's going to provide. I don't know how El Shaddai is going to help me. God wants to help you tonight. Somebody's here has lost this joy. Somebody's here has lost her joy. Why don't you say, God, help me to have that joy again. God, help me to be on fire for the Lord again. Whether it be about your marriage, be about the Lord, but whatever it is, don't let Satan rob you of your joy. Satan is on a mission. As we close, I want to share with you one more verse, and the lesson is yours. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, the Bible tells us years ago something occurred in heaven. But there was a war between Michael and God's angels and Satan and his angels. Satan led astray some 1/3 of the angels in heaven, but he lost. And he was cast out of heaven and those angels. Cast down where? To the earth. Verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down to us. He's on the earth. Even though he's in the the bottomless pit. He's not able to roam, but he's able to use his influence. Satan wants to influence you to not be excited. He can't make you do anything. So don't you say, well, Satan made me do it. Satan can't make you do a thing. He can only put the temptation before you. But there's someone greater than Satan. He's already defeated him once. And he can defeat him now. It's God Almighty. But you know what? He's mad at God. And so what he tried to do was stop the plan of salvation, the man child. He tried to stop the birth of Jesus. He used Herod to try to find out where Jesus was going to be born. But God sent an angel, told those wise men, don't you go back and tell Herod anything. He couldn't stop the birth of Jesus. He was born. But now you look at verse 13. He's after the woman. The woman is the church. The woman is us. Satan wants to destroy this church here, body of believers. And the way he can do it is take away your joy. And one by one, you'll drift away. One by one by one. And if our Lord delays the second coming of Jesus, if we're allowed to live another 20 years, how many people are going to lose their joy? Will you be in that number? Please pray for me that I'm not in that number. I'm going to do everything I can to be in that number that's going to keep on being excited about the Lord. But I love verse 14 of that chapter. When Satan comes after the woman, God has given those in the church two wings. We sing that back at Oak Grove. Two wings. Christians, you can fly to a place of safety. As long as you stay in the Word of God, trust in God, use your two wings. Satan can't touch you. But if you don't study God's Word and you don't have faith in God and you don't keep on being passionate about serving God, you may find yourself trying to fly with one wing or none at all. And you can't fly with one wing. You can defeat Satan, but you got to exercise both wings. Will you do that tonight? If you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on some of the greatest blessings in life. One of the blessings is having hope. You see, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you don't have hope. If you don't have hope, you don't really have a reason for living. I have hope. And that's what Peter was telling the saints. Rejoice. Have joy unspeakable. Why? You have living hope. Living hope gets you up on Sunday morning. Living hope will get you here on a Saturday morning. Living hope because you know there's something better. What must I do, preacher, to have hope? You must believe with all your heart Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, because he is. Then you must be willing to confess to this audience that you believe that he is God's Son. And if you do, then the next step is to be baptized. Why? Because in baptism, God operates. That's where God operates. It's when you go down to that water of grave of baptism, Ephesians chapter 2. God, not man. God, not the elders. God, not Eric. God removes sin from your life. He covers you with the blood of Christ. And when you fall short of God's glory, and you will, and I have many times, because that blood is so powerful, when you say, God, I've sinned, that blood restores you to be able to be justified. Don't let Satan take away your joy. Tell somebody tonight. Call someone tonight and tell them it's great to be a Christian. Don't go to sleep. I beg you. I beg you. I plead with you. Don't go to sleep without telling somebody how wonderful it is to be a Christian. How wonderful it is to live with hope. How wonderful it is to have a relationship with God. And know that if this day is my day, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Because there's something better. I know it is. After this life waiting for me. And you know what? If that doesn't get you excited, nothing will. Nothing will. Tonight, if you need to come, you can't see Jesus, the Lamb of God, is waiting on you. Whatever you need to do and whatever the procedure is here to get right with God, don't leave this building not knowing that your life is right with God. If you need to come, won't you come as we together stand and sing?